Chapter 55 Liv cleared her throat awkwardly as she stuffed clothing into a bag.
I came back here this morning to apologize, she said.
Huh? Kip said. The clothes in her hand were some lacy undergarments.
Distracting. You know, when you were busy trying to get killed.
Apology accepted? Kip asked. What was she apologizing for? He shifted the weight on the pack that Commander Ironfist had given him before disappearing. Apparently it had taken Ironfist almost no time to gather some spare clothing, a waterskin, tools, and even a short sword for Kip. Kip still hadn't figured out how to get the pack to sit comfortably on his shoulders, though. He'd come to Liv's room to help her pack, but she wasn't making things any easier. He glanced at the short pants again.
They're just underclothes, Kip.
Ach, caught.
They're see-through. Kip said.
How could such a small bit of cloth actually fit a person inside it? Liv looked down and coloured a little, but played it off. She tossed the short pants to Kip, who caught them instinctively and instantly felt awkward.
Would you check if those are clean? She asked.
Kip's eyebrows shot off his face and stuck somewhere three floors up.
I'm teasing. I just moved, and they gave me all new clothes. Everything here is new.
Except my gullibility, apparently, Kip said. That was twice in as many days she'd fooled him. She laughed.
You're great, Kip. It's like torturing the little brother I never had.
Oh, the little brother comparison. Just what every man wants to hear from a beautiful woman. I've just been castrated. So would I feel more or less awkward holding my sister's underclothes? Liv laughed again.
Would these be better or worse?
She held up some black lace that looked like little more than two strings tied together artistically. Kip gaped. Then she held them up to her hips and cocked a saucy eyebrow at him. Kip coughed.
Oh, I think I need to sit down, he said.
She laughed like he hoped she would, but he wasn't completely kidding. He backed up toward a chair and instantly bumped into someone.
Watch it, Commander Ironfist said. You don't want to run into someone with that little sword sticking out.
Kip was too mortified for words.
Little?
Liv saw the look on his face and burst out laughing so hard she fell on the bed. She laughed so hard she snorted a decidedly unladylike sound, and then that made her laugh harder. Turning around, Kip felt Iron Fist's firm hand guiding his pack away from him so he didn't stab him with a scabbarded short sword on top of it.
Oh, that! Little sword.
Relief flooded Kip until he saw Ironfist glance down at the sheer, short pants in his hands.
You need me to find some in your size?
Ironfist asked dryly. Liv snorted again, giggling so hard she was gasping for breath.
Oliviana, Ironfist said, you're done packing, because we're leaving in 5 minutes.
Liv's laughter stopped instantly. She popped off the bed and began rummaging through her things at great speed. Ironfist let a small, satisfied smirk steal over his face briefly, then he dropped another pack next to Kip's and walked out. Before Kip could ask him about it, Ironfist said,
Move it, boy genius! If you haven't figured out the straps on your pack before I get back...
He didn't complete the threat. He didn't need to. Soon they were striding onto the docks together. Despite his threats, Ironfist had helped them with some settling of the packs. Mostly that meant moving things from Liv's pack to Kip's. When Kip asked the silent question, Why are you making me carry her stuff? Ironfist had said,
It's more complicated to be a girl. You got a problem?
Kip shook his head quickly. As they walked down the docks, past fishermen unloading catches, apprentices of various trades running back and forth, loiterers, merchant women arguing with captains about prices for goods or transit, basically all the normal business of the day, many people stopped whatever they were doing for a few moments. It wasn't to watch Kip, of course, it was to watch Commander Ironfist. The man was big and imposing and handsome, and he strode with a total self-awareness, but it wasn't his sheer physical presence that got him so much attention. He was, Kip realized, famous. As Kip turned to see the faces looking at Commander Ironfist, he could see Gavin walking onto the docks, and if for Commander Ironfist business slowed for the prism, it stopped entirely. Gavin walked through, smiling and nodding to people automatically, but they treated him like he was nearly a god. No one tried to touch Gavin himself, but not a few brushed his cloak as it floated past. What am I doing with these people? A week ago, Kip had been cleaning puke off his mother's face and hair while she lay passed out from another binge. In their hovel. With a dirt floor. No one in their backwater town had paid him the least mind. The addict boy, that's all he was. Maybe the fat boy. I don't belong here. I've never belonged anywhere. Mother told me I ruined her life, and now I'm ruining Gavin's. Kip couldn't help but think of his mother's last words, and the promise he made as she was dying. He'd sworn to avenge her, and he'd hardly done anything to keep that oath. They said Orholm himself watched over oaths. Kip hadn't earned anything, and now they were going back. Hey, Liv said. Why so glum? She laid a hand on his arm, which tingled from the contact. They'd stopped at an empty place on the dock, down a ramp low to the water, and Commander Ironfist was drafting a Luxin platform onto the water, the first building block of a skull.
I don't know. Thinking about Tyria makes me think about...
And from somewhere that Kip didn't even know he had, tears tried to come up at the thought of his mother dying. He pushed them away, diverted them to someone more worth mourning.
You know, I hope your father's well, Liv. He was always good to me.
He was the only one. Yet even with Master Danavis, there had been a war, a point past which he wouldn't let Kip in. Was it just because of his own history that he had to keep secret? Or was there something deeper, something wrong with Kip?
Kip, Liv said, it's going to work out.
He looked over at her and couldn't help but smile. Orholm had never made a more beautiful woman. Liv could shame the sunset with her radiance. It fell into her dimples, hopeless. He looked away. Little brother, he sneered at himself. Fun to joke around with, but not a man. The despair threatened to choke him completely.
Thanks.
He managed to push past the lump in his throat. Can I have a snack? He asked Iron Fist.
Yes, of course, the big man said.
Great.
When we get back.
Hey.
Now shut it. The Lord Prism is here.
All eyes still on him, Gavin stopped in front of Commander Iron Fist. He looked at Iron Fist's pack. Neither said anything for a long time.
You can't come. I'm not taking a bodyguard, Gavin said finally.
I'm not coming with you,
Iron Fist said.
Then get off my skull.
I'm coming with Kip. He's a member of the Prism's family, and he's entitled to protection.
You're the commander of the Blackguard. You can't possibly...
I can do what I deem appropriate to discharge the duties of the Blackguard. None may interfere with that. None.
You are a wily bastard, aren't you? Gavin said.
It's why I'm still here,
Iron Fist said.
And quite possibly why you are too.
Gavin grunted.
You win. But let me remind you of your oaths.
Iron Fist looked offended.
You'll understand soon, Gavin said. Everyone, load up.
With a quick, practiced hand, Gavin drafted a set of the special oars he used to propel the skull, but he clearly left room for Iron Fist to draft his own, which he did, albeit much more slowly. Meanwhile, Gavin drafted a bench for Kip and Liv to sit on, and straps to hold all the bags in the boat. Iron Fist wrinkled his nose at that, as if wondering why the bags would need to be strapped in, but he didn't ask. In moments, they were off. Gavin manned his oars and Iron Fist manned his, and they sped out into the bay. The skull began veering to port almost immediately. It was Gavin's side. Kip realized Iron Fist was rowing faster than Gavin, and the imbalance was driving them to port. Gavin looked over at Iron Fist, who grinned back at him, continuing to sweep huge long strokes with his arms and legs. Gavin sped up. So did Iron Fist. So did Gavin. Soon they were sculling across the water at a nice pace. Liv looked over at Kip.
Can you believe this? I've never gone this fast.
Kip laughed.
What?
She asked.
You'll see.
The men settled into a rhythm. They were going fast, competing, but neither trying to bury the other.
When are we going to meet your ship?
Iron Fist asked, raising his voice to be heard over the wind.
We're going to cross the sea on this, Gavin said. Iron Fist laughed.
Right. You've got more endurance than I thought.
Kip grinned. The big Purian clearly didn't believe Gavin, but was willing to play along. After 20 minutes, they were out of sight of any other ships. Belly slowing in his rowing, Gavin lifted one hand up and drafted one of the great tubes Kip had seen him use to propel the skimmer earlier. Iron Fist looked at it quizzically. This is what I meant about your oath, Gavin said. Secrecy.
A tube attached to another tube. Your secret is safe with me, O Prism,
Iron Fist said, grinning.
I hope it gets us out of this port turn, though.
Gavin dropped the tube into the water. The deck shuddered as the first Luxin ball hit the water, streaming through the tube. Then, as it quickly settled into the whop, whop, whop that was familiar to Kip, the skimmer shot forward. The whole skimmer rose up, and Iron Fist almost fell over as his oars came free of the water. The skimmer sped up slowly and began to skip from one wave peak to the next. Then the skips got longer and longer, and soon the platform stopped hitting the waves at all. After a time, the astounded Iron Fist joined in, and they skimmed even faster. The water was so clear, Kip could see the tube cutting through the waves below them. Gavin had given each tube little wings. It was on those wings that the whole skimmer was flying above the surface. The wind was incredible, but Kip could hear Iron Fist whooping over it. Hours later, when the sun was halfway to the horizon, Gavin decided to switch back to sculling before they came in sight of Garriston. As the skimmer settled back on the waves, Iron Fist stepped away from his tube. His face was a writ of wonder, awe. He actually physically trembled. Then he swept into an elaborate bow before Gavin.
My Lord Prism, he said, you have made the world small.
Gavin bobbed his head, acknowledging the bow. Small, maybe. Safe, no. Did you see a corvette over that way? Iron Fist shook his head. Their watercraft, no longer lifted up by the action of the tubes, sat low in the water. But by the time Iron Fist had drafted new oars, a corvette appeared, a league away, ploughing right toward them. Iron Fist cursed. Gavin grinned recklessly. So, Kip, Liv, you ever fought pirates?